you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, along. Time contributor to the station and a valued friend to the two of us, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it's fun to watch the roster machinations, if I can call it that. You know, we know that their long snapper was added. We know that they added a defensive tackle, they added an offensive lineman. They expanded the practice squad, and they cut a couple of guys that they thought would be on their practice squad. And clearly, they're doing this with an eye toward the season opener. And we know, according to reports, the defensive tackle will be up and active on game day. Obviously, they're going to need a long snapper. So they'll have to do some switching around with the roster just to get through the opener.
Yeah, I mean, with these elevations, you can do that up to three times during the season. So, for instance, with Scott Daly, the long snapper, you can just bump him up on game day and not have to clear a spot for him on the 53-man roster three times. You want to use Scott Daly in a fourth game, say, I don't know, week four, he's going to have to be on the 53-man roster at that point. So, yeah, I think they're pretty set up right now in terms of they know specifically what they'll do for that Titans game and maybe how things will shake out for a few guys during the first couple weeks of the season. But then, you know, it's just sort of waiting to see what happens in terms of injuries and where there could be needs and what happens from there in terms of some of that roster flow at the back end of some of those position groups. Because if they need a spot for the snapper Daly in week four, I mean, unless somebody is hurt, like if they have perfect health between then and now, it's going to cost somebody the job because he's going to have to be on the 53-man roster.
Right.
What'd you think of Brett Rypien signing with the Vikings and being added immediately to their 53-man roster?
Well, I think that's why Rypien didn't come back on the Bears practice squad. I think Rypien probably had the sense that he was going to have a better opportunity elsewhere. And as a veteran, you know, being behind one guy with no career starts and another guy with four career starts probably wasn't super appealing to him, but that was a chance for him to get on a 53 instead of another team's practice squad. That's almost a no-brainer every time. I mean, there's some rare instances where you hear of a guy, you know, that sticks with a practice squad opportunity instead of a 53 shot. But not in this case.
Well, you know, it's fascinating because the league wanted to change the rules to allow you to bring up practice squad guys whenever, especially at the quarterback position, and that was voted down by the Players Association because of the difference in the amount of money that you make on the 53 versus, I mean, he'll make a lot of money this year because of the years in, years of service. He'll be over $1 million as opposed to whatever you know you make on a game by game basis on practice squad.
Yeah, and if you're on the practice squad and you get elevated for the game, you get a legit game check, you know.
Right.
But
But otherwise, you get a weekly, you know, whatever it is. It's between like 16 and 20K.
But it was when they brought Reed back to the practice squad. My first reaction was that must mean Rippon's going elsewhere. I'm not sure in what world you'd pick the undrafted rookie free agent over Brett Rippon, the guy that you signed, you know, relatively early in the off season, who had a little bit of experience anyway with the coaching staff like that. Good for Austin Reed, but I don't know that it's evidence that Austin Reed, outplayed the guy.
So Brad, obviously they're late round draft picks and nobody's going to quibble too much, but while we have the time to examine and dissect all of these moves, you get Daryl Taylor from the Seahawks, you get Chris Williams from the Browns. If they didn't fit on those teams, there's a likelihood or possibility both of those guys would have been cut. You could have claimed them without giving up a draft pick. Why do you think Ryan Poles was proactive in going out and targeting both of those guys rather than waiting and claiming them on waivers?
Well, Taylor's got sack production. Like he's got legit sack production over the last three seasons. And so Taylor's a guy who some other team could have grabbed potentially in a trade, or a guy that they would maybe lose out on in the waiver wire process. So you make the trade there because you're short on someone to rush the passer opposite Montez Sweat. I think I said it to you guys yesterday, you know, or earlier this week. You know, it used to be when you had two quarterbacks, you had none. In the current instance for the Bears, they've got six defensive ends. And what does that mean? Well, maybe they have one, right? And so they're attacking this situation with volume, with numbers there, and Taylor's going to be in the mix. And I'm intrigued to see what he can do, you know, moving from that outside linebacker position that he played with the Seahawks to defensive end, where things should be a little more simple for him. What does he look like? Because you ought to adjust right away when your job's to hunt the quarterback. Now, in terms of Williams, yeah, I tend to think that had the Browns waived him, maybe the Bears could have just scooped him up and added him to the fold. But he did have some production here in preseason. He had a pair of sacks. I believe there was a forced fumble. So he's active in the backfield a little bit. And I think a lot of times when you see a situation where a head coach or a coordinator is involved, where a player that they worked with previously is brought in, which that's the case here because Williams played two seasons in Indianapolis when Matt Eberflus was the head coach, you can imagine that the coach was probably lobbying for him. Like, hey, let's go get this guy. That's just a hunch, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was involved in this situation with Williams.
Brad, it's wild, but since I think it's 2008 when Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan came into the league and led teams to the Super Bowl, it seems like every quarterback that's picked, I believe there have been 48 first-round quarterbacks since then, has played immediately, the exceptions being Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, and I think Jake Clocker kind of got a red shirt year. But other than that, the other 45 quarterbacks were playing, whether they started immediately, they started eventually. I'm just curious, when you look at the number, you know, obviously Caleb Williams was the starter when the Bears drafted him, and that has, you know, played out, and that is expected to be the case this year. You look around the league, other than J.J. McCarthy, who was, you know, injured, it seems like there will be no redshirt years, although Drake May will not start to open the season. Is that a classic kind of case of you start with another quarterback and then at the end of the year you roll the guy out and hopefully make it look like you've got progress going on? Is that one of those situations? Do you look at him not starting? Is it different with Penix versus Drake May?
Well, it's definitely dead. Yeah, because Penix doesn't look like he's going to get starting opportunities unless something happens to Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. That's the last thing they want to encounter. Maybe there's an opportunity to get Penix some action a little bit later in the season and blowouts or something. I don't know. But I look at the situations in Atlanta and New England as completely different. You know, Atlanta, they got to get going. They got to start winning with some of that young talent that they've amassed around the quarterback position on offense. And that's why they they were all over Cousins. Like, that was the worst kept secret in free agency, right? That they were going to go after Kirk Cousins and bring him in.
Is there a tampering allegation in what you're saying right
there? Yeah. Like, Florio's more dialed into that stuff than I am. But the New England situation, yeah, that's such a bad roster right now, I think. The Patriots, like, that's a real rough-looking team. It would be difficult for any quarterback in there. So I think you're hoping that your quarterback can develop a little bit. You're seeing what's going on around them, but man, that's going to be a tough situation, I think, for Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, anyone to succeed in this season. There's just not a lot around the position in New England.
So what is the schedule now, Brad, with the weekend? When do they come back? Game week begins on Monday. It's Labor Day, a long weekend for a lot of people. But what are the Bears doing and how are they handling it?
Well, they get a long weekend. They're off. I mean, the players do anyway. The players are off today, Saturday and Sunday, and then back to work on Monday. They get a little bonus practice on Monday. Probably, I would guess, kind of light work, just kind of getting back into the swing of things. Probably, looking at some of the Titans stuff that they want to have involved. But that's. I'm almost positive that's mandatory with the CBA that the players are given a 3-day weekend before week one.
When you look at where they're at, you know, I'm just curious. We were talking earlier about whether or not the roster looks like a playoff roster. And, you know, obviously there's complications within the division, but within the NFC, where do they fit? And do you have to, like, for instance, we mentioned Atlanta. Are the Bears ahead of Atlanta? Are they behind Atlanta? Or is Atlanta in a position to win a division and maybe it doesn't matter?
Yeah, that NFC South is, I think that's a two-team race. I think that's the Falcons and the Bucks. Carolina is going to be putrid again. The New Orleans Saints guys have been trending downward for a while now. They just seem to keep getting older. At some point, you gotta shuffle some of these older guys out the door and replace them with younger ones, right? And they haven't figured out how to hit the reset button there. And they were, they were what, 9-8 last year, which is probably two or three games better than I would have thought they would have been going in a year ago. But I think that's probably a two-team race in the NFC South. And the Panthers, they're going to be terrible. You know, they're going to be really bad, guys. They get a shot at the number one pick here.
So, Brad, we've kind of agreed that this roster is a big upgrade, and a lot of us consider this to be a playoff caliber roster. Just wonder, a talent aside, players aside, do you think that this, you look at this coaching staff, what's your biggest question about this coaching staff heading into a season that a lot of people are excited about?
Well, I mean, if you could talk about the biggest question about the Bears coaching staff, I think a lot of the time it's, yeah, how long is the offensive coordinator going to be here? Like, did, you know, somebody have a chat with Shane Waldron when he came to town and suggest that he rent instead of buy on account of the fact that, you know, these guys roll through offensive coordinators every 2 years or faster, right? And so, and I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Shane Waldron. I'm just saying that's been the track record for about 25 years anyway. Mike, the biggest question for the coaching mark is what will Shane Waldron do? And he's got some better, it would appear, better talent around him right now, though, to kind of settle into this position where the Bears aren't going to be swapping out play callers in the next year or two, right? Like, we gotta see what he can do to develop the young quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I think it's going to be a lot of fun too, Brad. I think this season there's an excitement around town. Do you sense a vibe around the team? We hear that word thrown around a lot, but with all the additions, it feels different than it did before. Does that matter?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that matters inside the building. I think that matters to players. I think that gives you an indication of things like energy level out on the practice field, which probably, although we're not allowed in there and shouldn't be allowed in there, but that probably leads to stuff like energy level in the weight room, energy level in the meeting room, you know, where you've got attention to detail, guys dialed in, you know, not guys half knotted off, you know, wondering about what they're going to do when they get turned loose for the day. So I think when you've got that energy in the building and you can maintain it, that's something you're going to need to get through tough patches in the season. Like, they're going to have some tough patches during the season, right? When you've got that proper energy level, everybody kind of knows what they need to do to push through it. And if you don't have that, things can turn into a drag. And you guys have been there before. I've been there before, where you walk into a place that's no energy, that's just dead. And you can tell it's a challenge for people to come to work. It's later in the season, and that just makes it so much more difficult for the team to go out and compete on a Sunday when it's just, you can tell the thing is sort of off the tracks.
Special teams coordinator Richard Hightower spoke yesterday, Brad, and he said in terms of Velus Jones, he had an outstanding camp. He spoke about a guy who was really never on the bubble, it seemed, according to the way they described him. That would lead me to believe that Velus Jones is going to be deep on kickoffs week one when the Titans come to town. Is there any doubt about that?
No, I think he's, I think he, well, he better be, right?
Right.
He's not going to be, he's, you know, what are they going to have? A handful of snaps maybe for him on offense? Like, he better be able to take some a front burner role on special teams, or what are you doing? I would imagine he gets a shot there on kickoffs. You just want to see the decision making process solid. You know, you saw him probably trying to cover a little too much ground, and then communication with Tyler Scott in the preseason in the one instance, because they're going to have two returners back there, and if it's kicked directly to the other guy, let him kick. Let him field it, and you go take your turn blocking. But I would fully expect him to be involved in that role.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brett. Congrats on Mizzou taking care of
it. Yeah, your team did it.
I mean, whatever patsy they scheduled, was that Murray State 51-0.
So I had a guy that was at the game call me last night, and he said that North Dakota State, he said that's the same roster as Colorado, with the exception, right, of Travis Hunter and the quarterback, Shedeur Sanders.
Well, those are two pretty big exceptions.
They are two pretty big exceptions, but his point was that the Buffs and what Deion's got going on isn't very good.
Well, it's all about the portal. And North Dakota State's a pretty good program.
That's a very good program, but like you've got an FCS team going, you know, on the road, and they should have won. They had a shot to win that game. What are they doing throwing the ball first and 10 there at the end? Like,
if you question Deion Sanders, you're going to have to answer to Deion Sanders, Brad.
Right. Well, my question is: Are you throwing there at the very end to pad your kid's stats? I mean, I don't.
He claimed that it's not about running; it's about first downs, and that if you throw the ball, you're more likely to get a first down. It was
a weak explanation.
What he said.
Yeah, unconventional. But that is the Colorado football program.
That's him.
Great stuff, Brad.
See you, buddy.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune. It's fun.
They're even, except for the two best players on the team, obviously, on the field.
Yeah.
Colorado's going to play a lot of teams this year where those two players, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, are going to be the two best players on the field.
Yes.
Because those are NFL first-round draft picks.
They could be top 10 draft picks.
Yeah.
That could be, you know, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze.
Yes, they could. I mean, Travis Hunter is right now
is more of a
best player in college football.
Defensive back, though. It's a corner.
He can
do everything.
I love that graphic they had last night. They compared, they looked at Champ Bailey, they looked at Charles Woodson, all the different two-way players in the past. And he caught three touchdown passes, and he also made an impact as a cornerback. He's a great player.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
So there's a gap here. So, you know, I think I said it the other day, the most important thing is keeping sharp. And what does that mean? That means keeping mentally sharp, you know, into the schemes. And then your conditioning level has to be sharp. And then your fundamentals. You know, the basics of football, blocking, tackling, leverage, all the things that protection, all the things that wins games. So we've been very intentional about that as well. So the conditioning, the strength and conditioning, performance has been a big part of that over these last few days while these cuts have been being made. So we've been doing a really good job with that, with the mental side of it, also getting walkthroughs. And then today's a big part of it, and tomorrow as well. So you just got to stay sharp, you know, your conditioning, staying healthy and staying sharp mentally.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the head coach of the Bears. That's Matt Eberflus talking about season preparations here in the final weekend. They get a day off or two, and Flusie talking about the little things.
Sounding very coachy.
Very coachy.
Sounding very much like he typically sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, what's different about this preseason is that he sounds somehow smarter. He does seem like he's in more control. The command is there. I'm giving him the Hard Knocks bounce here. I think his image has been enhanced.
Yo, there's no question.
By that TV show.
Yep.
I think he's done his own work. Give him credit. He has done more than just found a new stylist and dressed differently. he has worked on his messaging. It's stronger, it's clearer, and I think it's more effective. That's important when you're a head coach. It's important when you're a head coach entering season three that feels like you're given a reprieve, right? They could have fired him in January and justified it. They didn't. He got better. He worked at his craft. He's going to be a better head coach because he's calling the defensive signals. And, Mully, I think that the public aspect of the Bears, you've talked about the good vibes internally.
Yeah.
There's excitement because, yes, Caleb Williams is here. But I don't think that as many people question the head coach as they did a year ago at this time.
He's gotten so much better. And a lot of it is just the way he handles himself at the podium. You know, a lot of it is there's a feeling of success where there was once nothing but failure. You know, his first year was a disaster. They got rid of everybody. They had no players. It was a really difficult thing to watch. But last year, you came away kind of, I don't know. He took over that defense and he showed his coaching chops. That was good for him. But as I said, you know, one of the things, like there were some big name coaches available, and you wondered if Jim Harbaugh would be a better option. And especially if you're choosing a quarterback and you're building a team, you want to make sure that you don't have to change horses in midstream. You don't have a different coach coming in, or you don't have a guy working with one play. It complicated things. And so you wondered if they should do that. And I think that the fact that they didn't just empowered the general manager as much as anything else. So he's the guy that's making the call. If there were some tension, creative tension between the guy putting the team together and the guy coaching the team, they seem like they're operating in lockstep. And
I think
you're
exactly right. That's one of the strengths of this organization right now.
Right now.
The relationship between Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus.
I agree.
I think that when I refer to the Hard Knocks bounce, it's not just because they capture him looking, very
like
slick.
The Great Gatsby in the first show.
He's dressing great and his hair looks tremendous and I like the beard and all that stuff. But here's what I think has helped him as much as anything. We often, as is appropriate, refer to him as a defensive-minded head coach. He's a defensive coordinator, for goodness sake.
Yes.
And you wonder about what happens when you draft the quarterback first overall and you slide him into your organization. Can he succeed with a defensive-minded head coach? These Hard Knocks episodes have allowed us a glimpse into the office and the time that Matt Eberflus is spending individually with Caleb Williams. And I don't think they probably have removed all the doubts, but I think they've gone a long way toward making people feel better that this is somebody who is making an effort to communicate and get to know the most important person in the franchise, which is the quarterback.
Listen, I mean, to quote a great man who has often said, it is a TV show. That's what it is, David. As you have said repeatedly, it's a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hint of propaganda to it, whether we want to admit that or not. There's no swearing allowed. There's no, maybe there was a cuss word that slipped in, but they are being portrayed in a fashion that, as we've heard, 10-year-olds can watch it and octogenarians can watch it, and 100-year-old ladies can watch it.
So everyone's going to have their take on that.
Yes.
But this is mine. That, to me, speaks well about the Bears because it shows you that they are effectively managing something. Okay?
Right.
They are manipulating the message in a way that I don't think we trusted them to do before. They are putting Matt Eberflus in the best possible light.
Yes.
They're putting their organization, frankly, in the best possible light.
I agree.
Has been a net positive for the Bears.
I'm not arguing that fact. I'm saying, though, that it is a TV show.
Yes.
So that you are getting like a little bit of propaganda about how good things are. There's nothing wrong with that.
Thankfully.
It's just that we went from an organization where you did not trust the people running it to an organization now where I think if there's a star out of this thing, or if there's a star to what they're doing, other than Caleb Williams, I'm talking about in the organization, it's the general manager. His fingerprints are all over the team. He's weighing these decisions. He's deep in thought about whether you take
Matthew Judon. He makes you feel better because they don't portray him as somebody who's frantically making his next decision.
And frankly, you're right that the Judon thing, you know, it is a move for someone who is planning on going to the Super Bowl. But I wonder if at the end of the year, Atlanta winds up ahead of the Bears. Why are you?
I know.
I'm just saying, will we feel differently about it? That's all I'm saying. It's
the thing that's
what
fair
did the
to
guy
speculate.
Say? If he gets 30 sacks or 20 sacks,
if he gets 20 sacks, it's going to kill him. Or 20 sacks, he's going to be really hard to sleep or something.
Something.
However he worded it, you understood it. But you're exactly right. I think that what you have described is the way that they have portrayed Ryan Poles, deep thinker. Matt Eberflus, good communicator, right? The guy who has, right? See, I'm saying that because that's what he has eliminated from his vocabulary.
Exactly.
And also Caleb Williams, natural star.
Natural.
The guy who always has a smile on his face.
He's effervescent. He is popping off the screen.
So this is good.
When the guy's like, how nervous do you get on a scale? Zero. Like that's not a made up answer. Maybe, you know, Mecole Hardman can say that no way that's true. But you know what?
You believe it.
I believe that.
You believe it.
I believe him saying it.
So you believe it. So what's happened here, which is very interesting in Chicago, to me, my take on Hard Knocks, we've gone from inherent cynicism about the Bears, which has been earned, inherent skepticism about the Bears, to natural enthusiasm about the Bears. Because you feel like you want this season to get going because something good is around the corner. It's been a long time.
They had the number one overall pick. Listen, you know, here's the thing that needs to be featured even more is that Ryan Poles made a trade that could go down in history. I mean, he made a trade that could be a championship-building trade.
It's one of the best ever.
It's unbelievable. And I think that's another thing that we're going to keep in mind.
The return on that investment is unprecedented in Bears history.
No question
about
it.
And if they do something like win a Super Bowl or win an NFC championship because of that,
you'll be able to trace it back to that.
And he'll be one of the all-time great executives in Bears history.
All right, we've got something really special now. We're going to bring in the man himself. He's bigger than anybody
huge.
In the business.
He's huge.
Joe Fortenbaugh has created – he is a legend. And we've been with him since the very beginning, and Joe has deemed us worthy of talking to yet again this season. We'll get Joe's picks for an awesome college football Saturday next. Mully and Haw on the Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. What a special treat. Joe Fortenbaugh joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. He's an on-air personality. He is a superstar at the four-letter network.
Icon.
He's an icon.
That's the four-letter word for Joe.
And we are blessed to once again get the wisdom and the grace of Joe. Good morning, Joe. We love you, buddy. God bless you.
Oh, gentlemen, it's so good to hear your voices. There were so many ways to start this conversation. Back for year 14 in the great city of Chicago. That's where I was going to start. An ode to my friends in Chicago, the city I love. And then I get the text from Dustin yesterday that we're doing this thing over Zoom now. So for the first time in history, I can see you guys.
Nice shirt.
I've never seen you before. Mully, I've never seen you before. That's what you look like. Fantastic.
So you look marvelous today. I have to say, we know what you look like. Everybody does.
Oh,
but you look exceptional this
morning.
Beautiful.
You're a beautiful man.
Thank you. I've got the mustache in. It's very creepy. It's amazing when I grow this thing out. This is the third year in a row I've done it. People are so turned off by it. Everyone feels the need to tell me how bad it looks. All idiots. They don't understand it's a bit. It's been a bit from the beginning. I grow it out on vacation, and I wear it until my survivor pick gets eliminated. And when Survivor's out, I shave the mustache. It's a bit. We work in radio. We work in TV. We have bits. Yet everybody goes out of their way to come up to me. Man, that thing looks bad. I know. It's not a style statement.
I know.
Joe,
we're so proud of you. Honest to God, I am just proud to be in the orbit of the great man. And the best thing is, you know, the family. Joe is a family man. The growing kids, the wondrous glory of life, Joe. You celebrate it every day.
Very lucky. 7 and 5-year-old sons were in Connecticut. They just went back to school. We made it 2 days. The young one's already home with a fever. We're really cooking. We are really cooking. That's a new record for the Fortinball household to get sick in the opening week. Normally it makes it to the second week, but I appreciate it. You know, you guys, this is so special to me. When I was early on in my career, you guys took a shot on me. Big Z was nice enough to recommend me to you guys. He gave me a shot back in 2011 when I first went to Vegas and moved there. I've been coming on ever since. I used to do a lot more radio hits. Now it's kind of slimmed down because there just isn't enough time. I would never, never turn this down. It means so much to me. Everyone at the Score, you guys. Mitch has always been so generous. Just everyone there. So I saw Parkins left. I almost thought about texting Mitch. I'm like, I'm ready to come do afternoon drive in Chicago. I'm ready. Like I feel like I got to be the most popular guy that's never lived in this city because of you guys. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Mitch just opened Mitch the just door and screamed, call me, call me.
We'll give you his cell after the segment, Joe. Come on down. We'll pay for moving expenses too.
By the way,
Joe, this is great.
Hold on, real quick, David. I got to tell Mitch something. I'm not as cheap as I used to be.
We know. So,
he's the multi-year man.
Your story is tremendous. Before we get to any of your expertise, how is it though? You got to share. Going from Vegas to Connecticut, how big of a lifestyle change is that?
It's a little different, I imagine.
Okay. So the first thing out of the gate is the time shift in terms of when games are on. The West Coast is the best place to live for watching sports. NFL starting at 10 a.m. Night game starts just after 5 p.m. Monday Night Football starts 5:30 p.m., right? Like, that's the dream. These UFC cards are going till 2 a.m. I can't have it. I can barely stay up. I'm so old now. I'm trying to grind out this Colorado game last night. So that's the big shift for me. In terms of the action, I don't know if people realize this, but North Central Connecticut versus Vegas, it is a bit of a departure. Not the same thing. I got bears and deer walking through my backyard now versus the coyotes I used to have to fight off the trash back in Vegas. So it's a new battle I wage on a daily basis. There aren't as many apps here. So every time I drive to a new state, I download new apps to get the sign up bonuses, cash in, cash out. It's a whole racket I got going on. It's a whole new thing.
Great stuff.
All right, Joe. You know, when you said, what did you say? Northwest Connecticut, wherever it is.
Yeah. North Central.
North Central Connecticut. That sounds like a team you once recommended to me. It sounds like that's a team that you had me bet on one time.
Did Tom Herman coach there?
Exactly.
God, we've been doing this too long. If the Tom Herman joke's coming up 5 years later, like, we've been doing this way too long. But yeah, Tom Herman in the underdog role. We'll look for those this year.
So we got the opening weekend. You know, obviously a lot of people here are curious about your thoughts on Notre Dame going down to College Station. Seems like that's whoever scheduled that is going to need a sit down. hold on 1 second, sir. What do you think, Joe? What are you looking for this weekend? Let's make some money for the fine people of Chicago.
Okay, before we launch into the college picks, I want to be clear about something. Are we going to do our Bears analysis next week? Because I want to make sure I save enough time. I don't want to jam you up. When we start talking Bears, we're going to talk next week, right? Because 14 years I've been coming on the show, I think it's the only year we've been optimistic about the Bears. I'm very excited.
That's next Friday. We got to look forward to next Friday then.
Yes.
Yeah, all definitely. Right.
So next Friday, we'll unload some of the NFL stuff that we've got. We'll save all that. We'll do college football opening weekend. Let's start with the Notre Dame game. This game was a pick 'em all summer, pretty much all the way up until late last week. Notre Dame starting left tackle. He's ruled out for the season with the pec injury. We see nothing but Texas A&M money. Pushes it all the way up to the key number of 3. There's an anticipation in Vegas that there could be some Notre Dame buyback. It's what it's called. The guys that get played A&M at Pick'em might play Notre Dame at +3, and then they try to trap the game or middle the game. You have a situation where A&M wins by 2. You hit both bets. That's more of an advanced course. We can get into that somewhere down the line. I think your best course of action here is a first half under, right around 23.5, 24.5. Notre Dame's got serious offensive line issues. You're going to Kyle Field at College Station for a night game. It's going to be very loud, very aggressive. It's going to be tough to move the football. But Notre Dame's defense is still one of the best in the country. And Texas A&M, by all accounts, during their spring practices, their summer practices, fall practices, wide receivers have drops. Offense looks a little shaky. So I think you're going to have two teams that play a tight, low-scoring game in the first half, and then it will open up in the second half. Pick number one, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, under 24.5 in the first half. Now, along those lines, we're going to do the same thing in the Michigan game. Michigan's playing Fresno. First half over under 21 points. Michigan will still have a good defense, but they've only got one starter back from that offense last year. Wolverines should take a big step back. Fresno's no joke. They're very feisty. There are a couple teams you don't want to schedule in week one. Anybody with Dakota in their name, which we saw last night, right?
Yes. So
and true. Fresno State. Like, don't mess around with Fresno State. No matter who's coaching them, they're always kind of feisty. I like the 21 with Fresno, but more importantly, first half under. I think it's going to be a real grind. Keep in mind, Michigan has Texas on deck. Very vanilla playbook here. Get the starters out late. We saw that with North Carolina State last night against Western Carolina. North Carolina State has Tennessee on deck. North Carolina State did not cover. Tennessee's going to play Chattanooga. They got NC State on deck. Don't be surprised if they don't cover. I don't think Michigan covers. I do think Texas will cover their game and blow out Colorado State. So as we work our way through, I'll give you a pick for tonight. Stanford plus the 9.5 over TCU. Who would Joe Fortenbaugh be if he comes on this show and he makes you wait until tomorrow to get some action down? We need some action tonight. Stanford and Troy Taylor. It's the second year of Troy Taylor as their head coach. This guy's good. It's going to be a very different looking offense than anyone remembers watching Stanford with David Shaw. They spread it out. They throw the ball down the field. They needed a year to get the roster ready. TCU is still a mess after the national championship from 2 years ago when they went to that game. Last year they struggled. They should struggle this year. Don't be surprised if Stanford springs the upset. Take the 9.5 points. As we get to some of the big games tomorrow, on Sunday, USC, I'll take the 4.5. Both defenses were awful last year. USC's will be better. Moss, the quarterback at USC, better than people realize. LSU's got some problems in the secondary. LSU wants to run the ball. Don't be surprised if this is an under. Everyone's expecting a shootout. It's right around 65. I think it's going to be lower scoring than that. So I go under. I look at USC. Georgia State plus 21 against Georgia Tech. This is simple. Georgia Tech, huge win in Ireland last week. They come back across the pond. Let's take the points now that they're overvalued. And I take Miami over Florida, but I'm playing them on the money line. I'm playing them on the money line there. I'm not going to lay the two. It's around -125.5. Florida's offensive line is an absolute mess. So to recap what we went through, Stanford plus the 9.5 tonight. Don't be surprised if they have the upset. Michigan, Fresno State, first half under. That's about 23.5. I take Fresno State plus the 21 in that game. Notre Dame, A&M, first half under. That's around 24.5. USC plus 4.5. I also like the under there. Miami money line. Georgia State plus 21. Joe Fortenbaugh's in midseason form. I don't think I missed a beat there, boy.
Love it, Joe. Love it, Joe. Just quick question before we let you go. Because of your status at the Four Letter Network, are you contractually obligated to mention the Cowboys every week?
Yeah, I mean, look, I did about a month and a half of Cowboys, Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, Niners content. Like, that was it. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not pandering to the audience. I keep banging the drum for the Bears. And everyone keeps telling me, yeah, we'll get to the Bears. Let's get to the Bears now. I've been saying it since the draft. The price has moved dramatically on them making the playoffs.
Yes.
It was like plus 140, plus 150. Now it's minus 110. That's the Joe Fortenbaugh effect. Everyone likes the over. That's the Joe Fortenbaugh effect. I'm kidding, of course. But there's a lot of optimism. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag just yet. We'll talk next week. But a lot of optimism. I don't know how you guys are going to go from White Sox season to Bears season. You're going to have a heart attack.
Oh, God, but we need it. Joe, you're the best, buddy. Thank you.
Welcome
Always
back.
A joy. Yeah.
Love you, boys. Thank you again for giving me some time on your beautiful network and on this show. It means the world to me, to the great people of Chicago. Thank you for continuing to support this segment. I love talking with you guys every week. Let's keep it running. Best of luck this weekend.
You too.
Great stuff, Joe. That's our guy, Joe Formaugh. I mean,
he's a
superstar, but still a common man. Love Chicago.
He means it, too.
I know. He's a great guy.
He's sincere. Great guy.
He's wonderful. Yep. And it's all true. Every bit of it is true. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got the Coom Dog next. Going to talk about the Cubs on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.